This is the voice of the message to Israel.
Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, my dear friends. Thank you for tuning in and listening to us today. Over the last several weeks, we have been considering what the Holy Scriptures have to say about the covenants that God has made with His people. These special agreements began with Adam while he lived in Eden in complete innocence, and they carry on through to the new covenant that would be established by Yeshua HaMashiach when he died on the cross and rose again victorious over sin, death, and the grave. In God's first covenant, established in the Garden of Eden, the first man, Adam, was under a covenant or agreement with God. In that covenant, God required certain obligations of the man, obligations that he chose to disobey. What needs to be remembered is that in Adam, the effects of Adam's sin did not merely affect himself, but rather in him, the entire human race was represented, and through him came under the curse of sin. Through him, mankind became the inevitable heir of suffering and death. Fortunately for mankind, God in his mercy and grace intervened. He knew that sinful man was unable in his own strength to effect a change in their own spiritual standing before him. God began, right at the beginning, to reveal his plan of salvation, a plan worked out as a covenant between the persons of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There now began to shine forth in the spiritual darkness of the world the promise of redemption that was to find fulfillment in the promised seed of the woman. This progressive revelation of God's redemptive plan continued through God's covenants with Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and David. Having considered the covenants with Adam, Noah, and especially with Abraham, we come now to the Mosaic covenant, that covenant that God made with Israel at Mount Sinai. This great covenant of the law occupies an intermediate historical position between the covenant promised to Abraham and its ultimate fulfillment in the promised seed, the Messiah. The New Covenant Scriptures declare it, that is the law, was added because of transgressions until the seed should come to whom the promise had been made. Toward the end of his life, Moses was rehearsing before Israel what happened on Mount Sinai. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with clouds and thick darkness. And the Lord spoke unto you out of the midst of the fire, and he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. The faithful, covenant-keeping God had said long before to his patriarch Jacob, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. In the furnace of Egyptian bondage, God forged the nation of Israel and brought them out under the leadership of Moses to Mount Sinai. In an awesome and fearful setting, and in a most dramatic manner, God issued his covenant with the assembled nation of Israel. Out of all the world's nations, with their diversity of tongues, God selected this one people group, the descendants of Abraham, to become the cohesive channel through which he would give the revelation of Holy Scriptures. In his letter to the Christian church at Rome, the Apostle Paul wrote that Israel were the recipients of special privileges. Listen to his words, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Messiah came, who is, over all, God blessed forever. Amen. This great theocratic covenant, first instituted at Sinai through the mediatorship of Moses, was again renewed sometime later to both Moses and his successor Joshua. This significant historical occurrence at Sinai, coming as it did after Israel's exodus from Egypt, indicated that the fullness of time for the birth of God's written word in treaty or covenant form had arrived. The written word of God originated in the midst of that awesome display of power in both salvation and judgment. The written scriptures came in accordance with the prophetic promises given earlier to the patriarchs. Scripture passed on from generation to generation bore the character of ultimate triumphal fulfillment. To Moses was given the great privilege of being God's channel for the Torah, the law of the living God. The opening words of this covenant at Mount Sinai proclaimed, "I am the Lord thy God." These words compare to the preamble of other treaties made in the ancient Near East. These preambles usually identified the overlord, or sovereign, in terms designed to inspire both awe and fear. They often contained a prologue that reviewed the great overlord's previous relations with his subjects and the benefits they derived from their relationship with him. The prologue of God's covenant at Mount Sinai included the following words concerning the Lord, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. The ancient treaties often stated the requirement of certain obligations of loyalty. Jehovah also commanded the nation of Israel, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Those ancient, classical, Eastern treaties also consisted of the calling upon the gods of the overlord to be witnesses to the agreement. This was then followed by the pronouncement of blessings or judgments, depending upon the person's faithfulness or unfaithfulness to the covenant. In the case of God's covenant with Israel, all of Israel's solemn agreements were to be made in the name of Jehovah. The curses and blessings associated with the Sinaitic covenant were interspersed among the required stipulations. Finally, two copies were made of these ancient covenants. One was to be kept in the sanctuary of the people, and the other to be placed in the sanctuary of the overlord. So the two tables of stone written on both sides were duplicates of God's covenant with Israel. However, Jehovah was both God and King to Israel. The tables of the covenant record were deposited in the Ark of the Covenant, located in the tabernacle. How superior is the covenant of the one true and living God with Israel! No other nation could boast of a covenant made and given and written by God. No other covenant, even the historic Hammurabi Code, does not compare with the high standard of morality and the guidelines for worship as given in the Mosaic covenant made at Sinai. No wonder Moses later extolled, "For what nation is there so great, who hath God so near unto them, as the Lord our God is, in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great, that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law?" In his divine plan, God had organized Israel into a nation, brought them into proper subjection to himself, and had given them the revelation of his laws and precepts, and had enabled them to know the nature and requirements of worshipping the one true God. His claims and requirements concerning them provided the constitutional guidelines that were ratified as a solemn covenant for their good and for his glory. The people were now incorporated as a nation under his protection for the possession of the promised land of Canaan. They would prosper as a nation in a fruitful land only so long as they did not reject him, turn to idolatry, and permit open wickedness. The Mosaic covenant contained promises of national blessing if they kept the law. In the fifth book of the Torah, Deuteronomy, we read, "Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers, and he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb, the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee." The very opposite would also occur if they did not obey. It still remains true, even today, that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Nearly 40 years later, just prior to their crossing the River Jordan and entering the Promised Land, the Mosaic Covenant was renewed. It was at that time that Moses predicted Israel's dispersion due to disobedience, their future repentance in this dispersion, and the restoration to the land. There would also be their national conversion of Israel and the judgment of Israel's oppressors, and under the reign of Israel's Messiah, there would be national prosperity resulting in the blessing of all of the nations of the world. How marvelous it is to observe that when, as a nation, Israel had broken this covenant, the Lord said through his servant, the prophet Jeremiah, "I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." The New Testament scriptures state that the Mosaic covenant made with Israel at Sinai was not the very image, but only a shadow of good things to come. It was a type of the covenant that would be made with true believers in the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. In the person of Christ Jesus, the two principles of law and grace, or promise, cooperate for the salvation of God's people. The obedience of Jesus Christ to the Father's will became the eternal basis of salvation and blessing to those who would place their faith and trust wholly in him. Through Christ, believers enter into the blessings of the new covenant. While this has unique application to believing Israel, it also has special application for all today that trust Christ for salvation. The blessings are inherited by promise, and as Scripture declares, the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. The law was given that it might be the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Will you trust him today? Shalom, and may God continue to speak to your heart. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.